Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord. And we will praise the Lord. And I don't want you to get discouraged. If you look around you and you think things are getting darker and things are fading away, I want you to feel the presence of the Lord in your spirit. And know that we have a purpose. And God has a plan. And you and I are part of that plan. So you have to take your strength in that. That you are part of the plan. We're not just a piece of fluff floating around. We belong to God. And God has His hands on us in spite of the fact that we're very busy people. Trying to cram into 24 hours. You know, as much as we can. And so the Lord is speaking to us. And we know that there's a transformation taking place. There is a transformation taking place. And it is taking place in your life and in my life.
Amen.
And there's no transformation taking place. They're just treading water. Just treading water. Now, I want to apologize for Wednesday night. I kind of bounced a few things off you, and I know I may have caused some confusion. So I'm going to slow it up a little bit and try to make my point, because it's what God is saying to us now, I believe, you and I, because we're a remnant and we're going to be called upon to do some mighty exploits. God is about to do some things in a world that looks like they've got rid of them. In a country that looks like they've got rid of them. I got news for you. He's not going anywhere. He's Lord now. He's always been Lord, and He will stay Lord. And He's coming. And He does not want us to get twisted or turned. We have a purpose. And it's Paul in 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. Paul lets us know what's happening around us. Religious spirits are all around us. They're all around you. They're all around me. They're religious spirits. And they're all over the place. And he tells us, and Paul lets us know what they even look like in the flesh. He says people will be lovers of themselves. No kidding. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. They'll be boastful, proud, abusive. They will be disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, no self-control, brutal, not lovers of God. Is there any non-lovers of God around these days? Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say there's a lot. Brutal, treacherous, conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. I'm going to stop for a minute. I hope you get where I'm going today, because he's speaking to us. They have a form of godliness but lacking in power. Hello? A form of godliness, but lacking in power. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear what I'm going to have to say, but it's coming right out of the Bible, because God has a people that are going to move in power. Not a form of godliness. You see, Paul is clear when he's saying this religious spirit. having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then it says, he says, have nothing to do with them. This is Paul speaking. Don't have anything to do with people that are, they have a form of godliness but they're lacking in power. Just have nothing to do with them. Hope you're hearing me.
Yeah.
We're lacking in power. Now, religious spirits having a form of truth, yet they lack fullness of truth. They're seducing spirits, causing you to wander in the wilderness. You know how many people spiritually are wandering in the wilderness? They don't see in the Spirit. They don't hear in the Spirit. They don't move in the Spirit. They have a form of godliness, but they're just kind of floating along. Just kind of there. And Paul's saying, this is what we will see. This is what we'll have. This is why 1 John 4:1-3 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not. Now, what I want to try to do is tie into here where I was trying to bring to you on Wednesday night, and what I'm trying to bring to the church, because I think it's important. We've talked about John 14:12. We've talked about John 14:12, which reads, most assuredly I say to you, Jesus is saying, I say, you who believe in me, the works that I do, you will do also, and you will do more. What we're not doing also, and we're not doing more. He says, you will. I talked about John 14:16, and Jesus says that he would pray and the Father would send and give us another helper. And he will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And he will never leave you. He will be with you forever. And you will move in my power. But we're not. And God is grieving over those he loves who are turning away from him. He wants them to come to him, but they're falling away. See, we're not an organization. We're an organism made up of living. We're not an organization. We're a living, breathing, with a hand and a foot and the gifts of God, and a breathing organism. We're alive. And he's speaking to us. Now, oftentimes I will bring you a scripture or we talk about something, and then sometimes I forget that if you don't keep it to the forefront, and I go to the next thing a week later, or the next thing a week later, it won't make any sense to you, because the scriptures are built precept upon precept to give you a vision or a picture of what God is saying to you. So I'm going to go slow. And I'm when I said to you, Dayspring, the Dayspring from on high, Luke 1:7-8, I threw you a little bit of a curve. Not on purpose, but I'm going to go slow, and I want you to try to catch it because it's important to you, because you happen to be in the tribe of Dayspring. Luke 1, 6, 8 through 7, 9. Luke 1, 68 through 7, 9. Blessed is the Lord of Israel, yes, for he has visited and redeemed us, his people. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and has raised up a horn of salvation, Jesus Christ, for us to take hold of. You get hold, there was a place at the altar that people that were in trouble, if they could get to the altar, there was horns on the altar, get the horns, they would never be, they were free. And Jesus is our horn. He's our, when we get to Jesus and get full into him, he has us, and we're covered. In the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, says your scripture there, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. How many know there's some people that hate us right now? Quite a few. There's people that don't like you because you love Jesus. Right? To perform the mercies and mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant and the oath with which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and in righteousness before him all the days of our lives, that we would be able to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Now, when I talked about Dayspring, Luke 1:7-8, and the thing about this is, unfortunately, when you read your Bible, many of your Bibles differ. If I read from the King James Version, Luke 1:7-8, your Bible probably something else. That should not be. It should be one. But you'll find that if you check other Bibles, they're not saying quite the same thing. And we're not to change anything. So, it says in Luke 1:7-8, as we start moving down towards 1:7-8, you and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Now, if you got your Bible and you're at Luke 1:7-8 now, I want to show you something. They're talking about there John the Baptist. John the Baptist would go before. John the Baptist would do these mighty exploits. It says John the Baptist will perform and do the things that he's called to do there. Luke 1:7-8. Now it's still Dayspring. You're Dayspring, but it's John the Baptist. It says in Luke 1:7-8 in my Bible of King James, though through the tender mercies of our God, with which the Dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness. Still talking about John the Baptist. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a way of peace. This is John. Now, the U Day Spring Church, Luke 7:27. This John the Baptist is the one whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." John the Baptist came in. Repent! Redemption draws nigh. Repent! Repent! Verse 7:28 of Luke. "For I say to you, among those born of a woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist." So no man greater, nobody greater than John the Baptist to that time. But then it says, "But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Now, Dayspring, John the Baptist, the word says that you, if you're born again, are greater, the least of us is greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the greatest ever born of a woman. So you see, you just got elevated there if you're born again. Now, "But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." We are kingdom people. We are born again. We are greater than John the Baptist. And you just heard what God said about John the Baptist. What he would do and what he would be and what he is. So no wonder, if you can see that, Dayspring, you are who he says it is. No wonder John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these." The reason why is because we're greater than John the Baptist. Now, "He who believes in me, the work that I do, you will do also, and greater than these. Because I go to the Father," John 14:16, "and he will give you another helper, and he will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Now, Luke 9:28, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up the mountain of Transfiguration. And I'm going to read what my Bible says. "Because see now that you're greater than John the Baptist, you are who God says you are." And Jesus shows us something right now to settle some things. Jesus says to John, he says to James, and to Peter. And it's found in my Bible in Matthew 17:1. Now, here's what it says. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. In other words, he was transfigured into the likeness of God. It says his face was brighter than the sun. You can't look at the sun full on. His face was brighter than the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. He transfigures himself from Jesus to his transfiguration. So what does the Bible say? They fall on their face. If Jesus walked in and transformed himself, he wouldn't be able to stand. He falls on his face, and you get to verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." We've been talking about being able to walk into the presence of God because you're born again. And because we should be doing what we should be doing. We should be able to lay hands on. We should be able to move in the power. The same thing Jesus did and more. And he said, we are greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was great. And he said, because you're greater, you're greater. And then Jesus shows us that we are not to be afraid to walk in the righteousness of God, to walk into His holiness. We are His sons and daughters. It was God there that transformed. And they were on their face. And it would be like God coming up to you and saying, rise in my presence. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in my presence. They fall on their face. And Jesus, who's transformed, not like he was when he was just natural, he's transformed, and we're being transformed, and he said, do not be afraid, arise. Ho 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 ho.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
So it's right here. It's right here. It's right here. That people don't want to talk about it, don't want to see it, don't realize God has a remnant and I'm looking at it.
Hallelujah.
And you're prepared to stand in the presence of God.
Amen.
You can walk from the outer court to the inner court into the Holy of Holies and inquire of Him.
Amen.
Because of what He said.
Amen.
Greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said, you will do what I did and more. And you can enter in. I showed you, I took three of them up the mountain of transfiguration. And on the mountain I'm standing in front of, why would he do that? He didn't do it for him. And he transforms right in front of them. And they fall. Poof. And he says, fear not. Arise. You know why? Because we're right there. See? It's right here that a sleeping giant is awakening.
Amen.
There's a sleeping giant that's awakening.
Amen.
Ones that are sleeping will keep sleeping. Well, tell them they're sleeping. To hear true purpose and kingdom destiny. They're going to hear the purpose of God, the destiny of God, the plans of God. They're going to hear. They've been called the great, great enemy spoilers. You've heard that? I've been getting messages from Australia. I sent out message. Sanjay's been working like crazy, bringing me in messages. These people I'm looking at are going to spoil the enemy's plan.
Amen.
They're called spiritual enemy stories. for it. He thinks he's got it all wrapped up. He thinks the church is going down the tubes. The little church is holding everything back. They're going to be enemy spoilers. These are the ones that will walk in the breaker's anointing. They're going to break the back of the enemy. They're going to walk in it. They're going to be it. They're going to live it because God said so. They will walk in fiery garments of revival. Praise God. And they will lead the sheep in a new direction. They're going to, they're going to lead the sheep, the loved ones of God that don't know where to go. They're going to lead them in a new way, in a new direction. The enemy set up traps over here. The enemy knows what's going on over here. He's had 2,000 years to set all kinds of stuff to stop God and his people. These people are going to move and lead the sheep into freedom in a new way, in a new direction. They're going to do it, and it's us. These kingdom people are about to receive kingdom increase for kingdom breakthrough. We're on the verge of kingdom breakthrough. And you're either going to move in it and receive it and be all that God said, or you're just going to play church till whenever. And he's speaking to us now. They'll work together in unity to push back the darkest and the darkness that is trying to stop the manifestation of God's glorious church. He says that he has. They're going to stop the enemy and the darkness that's pushing back, trying to stop the manifestation of God's glorious church. It ain't going to happen. And the ones that are going to step up and be who God says they are, they're going to drive the enemy back, and the glorious church is about to come through. We're not going to leave this world defeated. God will not be. God is God. He reigns and rules. Many have ignored the prophets' voices in this hour, but he says, I'm about to set them on fire so that the world can watch them burn with the message that's on my heart. They're going to go forth in the fire of God. They're going to be like the burning bush. They won't burn. They're going to be preaching fire, and they're going to preach the word, and the people are going to watch them burn, but they're not going to be consumed, and the fire is going to come through them. God says, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to be in you, and you will be like a burning bush, because I am in you, and I will move through you. People are going to watch them burn. Yeah. But they're going, oh man. And people will see, says the Lord, that I have a voice. And I have a say. And I have a plan. And I have a purpose for my people. And the new way. Father, help me not just preach into the wind, but it's in my bones. My whole life, from 17 years of age, has been fire.
Hallelujah.
And now the Lord's saying, preach it. Even if you empty the church, preach it.
Hallelujah.
If people keep falling away or there's nobody there, keep preaching it.
Hallelujah.
Because I am who I say I am.
Hallelujah.
Don't tickle their ears.
Hallelujah.
Tell them the truth.
Hallelujah.
They are my people.
Hallelujah.
And you are who He says you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, it's here. We're here what I'm talking about. That you enter the stronghold of God. Right now, the enemy has a stronghold. He's got a grip on things. He's got a grip on the church, what the church can do. He's a grip on parliament. He's got a grip on anybody trying to do prayer outside. He's got a grip. He's got a grip. He's got a stronghold. But what I'm talking about, you enter the stronghold of God.
Hallelujah.
And you think the enemy's got a stronghold? You haven't seen anything. God, you're in the hand of God. He said nothing will take you out of my hand. You're in my stronghold. You're in my hand. I have you. I've got hold of you. Fear not. Fear not. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We're buried with Him through baptism, Romans 6:14. We have a renewed nature, a renewed mind. We're to walk in the culture of heaven now. We're kingdom people.
Hallelujah.
Your spirit is born again. The most importance of anything I could ever say to you, the most important thing I could ever say to you, we're to hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Right now.
Amen.
You're to hear the voice of God, the voice of the Lord speaking to you. You see, the church looks pretty pathetic. But you know the glory God gets when He works with a remnant small?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Judgment is started in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And people are being shaken out. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm leaving. No, you're not leaving. You're being removed. Oh, that's not nice to say. Well, I go look for the master and see where they are. You know where they are? Nowhere. Still going in a circle. God said, stay where I put you.
Hallelujah.
I put you there, stay. I'm going to finish the work I've begun in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't run, don't faint.
Amen.
And He's speaking to us. And He showed us already, we are already not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But I believe we're right there on the verge of an anointing and a power that's going to... Oh, boy. We're right there. I know it's not easy. But if you could see who we are, greater than John the Baptist, who is greater than anyone ever born of a woman. We are privileged to be able to walk into the Holy of Holies.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because He said, the great I am said I am.
Amen.
Who He said I am.
Amen.
we figure we gotta figure this thing out. You see, my prayer is Elijah's prayer. My prayer for our body, my prayer for the church, because it's going down like every other church. People are not, they're just, remember when Elijah, he was prophesying, he was telling the enemy, he was telling Israel all the enemy was going to do, and the king called the enemies together and he said that we have a traitor, somebody's trading and letting Israel know everything we do. And they said, it's this guy Elijah. He's telling them what they're doing even in your bedroom. So you know the story. Elijah's away with Elisha. And the king sends a conglomerate, an army, thousands, to get one guy or two guys. Chariots. They're all around and they're in this little place, like a little cottage. And the army circled them around. All you got is an army of horses and chariots. And the king said, kill that guy. And you know what happened? Elijah's servant, Elisha, goes out in the morning and he sees them everywhere you can see. Come to kill them. And he's fearful and he runs inside. And Elisha comes out. Elijah looks around. His buddy is going crazy. And then he says to God, would you allow him to see what I see? And God allows him to see. And he looks again. And there's a bigger army behind them all the way around. Bigger than that army. And overtake them. And I pray that God's going to open our eyes. That we'll see, yeah, there's an army here. There's an army around. You can see it. They're all out there. But there's a bigger army just waiting. Just waiting. And the battle's on. And if you want to know, you don't believe me, go to the back of the book. We win.
Amen.
We win.
Hallelujah.
And I tell the devil, read it for yourself, you loser. You lose. We win.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, church, we're right there. We're right there. I mean, we're right there.
Hallelujah.
The enemy is doing everything he can do. Because many are seeing defeat. Many are seeing church. But one day, the people that are laughing at us, the people that think we're crazy, are going to realize the only thing holding back the wrath of God right now is the little church. The little church is praying to God. The little church is holding it back. And they're worried about their loved ones. And if they're really worried about their loved ones, they'd get in and help the little church. Hold it back some more till we get some more in. Because we keep saying, God, we're ready. But are we? We're not doing what we're supposed to do. And I think I can speak for myself. I know I can speak for myself. I want to get my children in. But they don't want to come in. So I'm hoping we're going to stay together and push this and hold this thing back till we get our kids in.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But you see,
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
One of the things that worries me, God is like a parent. I know you people that are parents. I had two daughters. I still do. And we always treated one the same as the other. And God's the same. He treated Israel for 2,000 years. And now you and I, 2,000 years. So after, you know what happened? How long is he going to just stand and look at us and say, that's one of the key factors, because God is merciful and God is a father and he would treat his children the same. Why would he give us extended? It's already 2,000 years and we already know we're at the end of the church age.
Amen.
And the church is what he's calling on and depending on. He's not coming for individuals. See, you can't just go home and say, okay, he's coming for me. Pastor, don't worry about it. You're covered, you don't go home. No. He's coming for his bride, the church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Where we've worked out the spots and the wrinkles. And that's why I've said this before. But from the time I was born again, God was not creating my future from my past. My past is gone. And each step of the way, now holding his hand, I'm in the forms of transformation. I'm becoming more Christ-like. I go through it, I'm hanging onto his hand. I'm going up the mountain of transfiguration. But you see, if I waste all those years, and we've been wasting no years, God is merciful. He says, I got a people. They won't quit.
Amen.
They won't stop. And we're starting through a fire.
Hallelujah.
And it's almost like the Lord is saying, where's your quitting point? What's your faith worth? What's your sellout point? Well, maybe my wife doesn't want to come anymore. My husband doesn't want to come anymore. Maybe I'm pretty busy and churches are closing, but who cares? Prayer's removed from the schools. Who cares? Can't pray in the public place anymore, but who cares? All the churches, who cares? They're all a bunch of dopeys anyways. What a rude awakening's coming. I mean, what a rude awakening. But it's coming. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, the Lord keeps bringing this back to me. He said, preach it. Because that's where we are. We're right there. And everything. And what I fear, not supposed to fear, but Dawson, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with Jesus? You read your book. It says, Jesus says, when he's talking to them, if you read the last part, you know what he said to Peter and James, his half-brother, John? He said, don't tell anybody what just happened until I leave. Well, he left. So now we're telling everybody. We can tell everybody. I'm telling everybody. He said, don't tell anybody. Keep it a secret. Those guys came off the mountain. I guess they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. Remember Peter said, gee, maybe I should build a shack or a hut for you and build a hut for James, you know, and Elisha Yeah, they showed up. Now, the funny thing is there, Elijah never died, right? But Moses did. He showed up. Got to tell you something. One doesn't die, went, the other one died, but both there. And he said, now that you saw this, don't tell anybody until I leave. They didn't know he was going. So now that he's left, Hernan, I'm telling everybody.
Yes.
Telling everybody.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you, Father. I pray you'll see what I'm saying here now, because you see one time I spoke about them on the mountain. Next time I spoke about us supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. Then the next time I spoke about the day spring from and high, and where's day spring, and where'd that name come from? And so you take them and you put them together, and it shows you what I just talked about. God says, I've made you ready. And I know there won't be anybody too much to hear it. And I may have to preach to the ducks. And somebody's going to say to me one of these days, like they've said before, not mentioning your name, John. Well, he's out. If you have any people with sleep problems, send them here. I'll put them to sleep. But, see, they won't be able to hear. And that's another thing very hard to preach, because the Bible says many are turned over. And when he says to them, he asks them, why were they turned over? And the word says, because they didn't do what he asked them to do in the first place. So it's getting serious. It's not time to play church anymore.
No.
You see, and this is where I was saying to you before, it's not what you know. It's what you become. See, what I'm talking about, you have to become who he says we are. You become. It's not what you know. It's not what you can say. It's not. It's what you have become.
The Lord.
And when you know who you are and what you've become, you can walk in his presence.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that, Father, anything I said that's not pleasing unto you, you would just cast it off into darkness wherever it is you cast it. And Father, I pray that anything that I have said that is of you, you will let it go down into rich soil, that the enemy will not steal it, that you will have it and you will receive it. And it'll be yours. It will be yours, God. And let us see clearly, Lord, that we were not created for time. We were created for eternity.
Amen.
We're not created for this down here. We're created to be with you, to reign and rule with you. And our lifetime on earth is to give us the opportunity to become acquainted with you, and you the opportunity to develop our character into your likeness, Father. And I pray that would be happening. That we would be in this period, this time on earth, it's our opportunity to become more like you, having our minds renewed. And the opportunity, God, for you developing our characters into your likeness, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Don't let us miss the whole thing. Oh, God, help us. Because if you live for time, you'll allow your past to shape your future. This is the time where God is shaping our eternity. We're not created for time. We're created for eternity. Father, I thank you. I pray for the food we're about to partake of, Father. I pray you'd sanctify it, nurture it to thy name's sake. I pray for the hungry, the needy, the sad, the sick, and the suffering. And Lord, I pray for the people. I pray, Father, that we'd all be part of the great awakening. I pray for those that are in slumber. I pray for those that are, Lord, just overtake us for your glory. And above all, be glorified. For you alone are worthy. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, that you paid the price on the cross that we could be all that you said we could be. I pray for those folks that don't think they need you, that Father, you'd open their eyes and they could see that you've paid the price for them as well. And you're welcoming them into your fold. The day will come. Oh, Father, we pray for the lost that they would come in now. And that you will be glorified. And as we pray for the food we're about to partake of and the hands that prepared it, Father, we just pray for those people that have nothing this day. And Father, I'm so grateful for the peace that we have in our country, that, Father, we can come and worship you freely. May we never take it for granted, for someday they might not be able to do that. But Lord, let us be all that you've called us to be. And all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor is yours. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.